Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In October 2008, John Brian Altinger was getting ready to meet up with a girl in Edmonton, Canada, he had met online.
The woman had sent him some precise instructions to follow to get to her garage, and although he thought it to be a bit strange, he decided to go anyway.
Shortly after that night, his friends received a strange email from John saying that he was leaving for Costa Rica for a long tropical vacation, and they were immediately skeptical that John had written that email.
The police were alerted, and although they were initially unconcerned, eventually the authorities began searching for real answers about John's whereabouts.
What really happened to John Brian Altinger?
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
What indeed? I feel like I start every single episode with that, but that's because we always end on these dramatic questions.
We got the cliffhanger. We're like Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. Right? We have the cliffhanger. I feel like there's been some true crime updates.
Ooh.
Right? I think that Alex Murdaugh was finally
arrested.
Confirmed to be a person of interest in the death of his son and wife. I feel like I'm right. I'm like telling all my friends my theories, but I'm not ready to put it out on a podcast yet.
Yeah, that is very fair. That's very fair. I know he was arrested in Orlando, Florida.
Really? He fled to Florida?
No, well, Alex, he was arrested at a drug rehab facility. He was there for...
Oh, right. I remember that. Yeah. There's so many twists and turns. It's hard to keep track. But yes, I do remember that. But speaking of Florida, Gabby's cause of death was confirmed to be strangulation. So I'm just like, let's find this guy.
I know. And I know.
What's taking so long?
I'm not sure if it was police rendering, but I did see there was that software they do when they kind of like see what he would look like now with like longer hair and everything like that. So I know they released that.
It's like, it's been like a month. We don't need to age the guy. What do you
I know, but like longer hair, facial hair, and stuff like that if he doesn't have access to like scissors and everything. So hopefully that helps. But it's a hard one because it's that thing where it's like there's just this one person. No one knows where the fuck he is.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, at this point, I thought they would find him pretty quickly. It's been really a while. I'm kind of wondering if he's even in the country anymore.
I mean, that is very true. But
I don't feel like he had enough lead time. Who knows? Yeah.
Who the hell knows?
I don't know.
Well, speaking of other countries, our topic today is Canadian.
Yeah, I thought it would be time to visit our neighbors to the north. We hadn't done an international one.
We haven't done one in a minute. I really do want to go to Montreal or Toronto so badly.
Me too. I do want to go to Toronto. I have a friend there.
Let's do a trip.
Yes. Live show. Yeah. True Crime Canada.
Ooh, okay.
Love it. Can visit Paul Bernardo, right? He's out of prison. No, Carla's out of prison.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Visit her. I'm sure she'll love that.
We're like, hi, how are you?
Right. Oh my gosh. But yeah, this is a pretty wild case. I'm surprised. I mean, I'm surprised I didn't know about it because the details of it are just extremely sensational.
Very, very gruesome. Very, very intense.
Yeah. And I thought today that I would start I would switch it up. And instead of starting with the bio of the killer, because fuck that guy, we will start with the victim.
Oh, God.
His name was John Brian Altinger, and he was known to his friends as Johnny. He grew up in Edmonton and also White Rock, British Columbia, which, I don't know, the Edmonton Sun describes as an affluent bay city near Surrey, which I'm like, okay, sure. You could have told me it's close to the moon and I would be like, all right.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know what those details. Yeah.
Nope. He moved back to Edmonton in the late 90s. He studied at Northern Alberta Institute of Tech and took a job in quality control at an oil field equipment manufacturer. And he worked the night shift, was studying. This is interesting because it's like, you know, your friend who has like a very, I don't know, like easy to understand day job, and then they're like secretly like into crystals and stuff on the side.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. This is the vibe I get, because he was also studying clinical hypnotherapy, telepathy, and astral level. And I didn't know that you could study telepathy.
I didn't know that either, but that's very cool. That was the power I always wish I had as a kid.
Oh, I think we all do.
Now that would be my nightmare, because I don't want to hear what everyone's saying about me. You know what I mean?
Oh, that.
I'm happy with my power of just not knowing when people are talking shit.
Agree. He also loved motorcycles, new age philosophy, and Elton John.
I'm into.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Besides motorcycles, I love Elton John, and sure, I'll get down with some philosophy.
Right. Yeah. And then he was also apparently very into like multiplayer video games, including one called Infinity Complex, which was like, I mean, back then it wasn't old school. Obviously, it was just regular school, but now it seems so old school because it had to be played with a dial-up connection.
That is wow. Simpler times.
Out for dial-up.
Yeah. That's also what made me, I mean, we'll get into it, but I was like shocked at how this all started, happened back then, because I didn't know the app that we're going to talk about was around back then.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to talk about. And so John was not married. He was 38 years old at the time of his death. And this is what you were talking about. So in October of 2008, he told his friends that he was going on a date or talking to this girl that he met on a little old website called Plenty of Fish.
POF, not POS. Yeah.
There we go. And he was going to meet up with her. And he said he was given weird instructions on how to meet her. And we'll get into the specifics of those, because they were, in fact, weird.
Very, very weird. And that's, I didn't know I guess dating apps have been around since the internet started, but I was like 2008. I didn't know.
I feel like because this was like the point. I mean, 2008 is not that long ago. That's the year before I graduated college. So I was using like, I think after I graduated college. Oh, no, wait, the year before I started college. But yeah, I think that was the point where online dating existed, but you had like match.com.
That's true.
And you felt like a complete weirdo to admit that you were dating online, you know?
And now you're a weirdo if you are like, oh, I met them in person. I'm like, okay, you're fucking sketchy as shit.
Isn't that crazy? I never thought that 180 would happen, but it's totally flipped.
I know, because now if someone just went up to you at a bar and was like, hey, I think you're really cool, you're like, what's happening?
Yeah. Like, what do you want? agree. So he got these weird instructions, and he told his friends about that, and his friends were kind of alarmed. And unfortunately, the person that he met with was not a woman, but it was a man by the name of Mark Twitchell.
Wow. Also, this is the second episodes in a row where we're talking about men with, you know what I mean?
Duping another guy into a date that turns deadly. Oh,
shit. I guess that's why you have to, well, no, blind dates are also scary. So, but anyway, a bio on Mark. So he was born on the 4th, I guess it's July 4th because it's Canada, 1979 in Edmonton, Alberta. His goal was to be a filmmaker, and he made like a fan film about Star Wars, something like that. So he attended Northern Alberta Institute of Technology and specialized in the communications department, radio, television program, graduated in 2000. And the quote unquote, like I mentioned, big break he did came when he directed a sci-fi fan prequel. Because when I was first researching him, I was like,
I don't
like,
understand what this is. I'll be very honest with you.
Because at first I just saw, because it was a fan prequel called Star Wars Secrets of the Rebellion in the summer of 2006. I first was like, oh, fuck, he directed a Star Wars movie?
Yeah, absolutely not. George Lucas, he is not.
So it was a fan.
I'm like, so you just directed a fan film? I'm like, how is that a big break? I don't really get it, but like, sure.
Yeah, I was like, okay, we'll go with that. It was a green screen film that it did generate buzz online. I feel like it's almost like how fan cams go viral now. So who knows?
That makes sense.
He even, he got a cameo from someone in the movie, Jeremy Bullock, who played the OG Boba Fett.
All right.
Shout out. I'm more Star Trek than Star Wars, so I don't really know a lot about Star Wars, but Obi-Wan Kenobi, I know that was a person in that. The film, shockingly, was never released.
Yeah.
Because here's my thing. He had a production company, but I feel almost any, I guess you could have a production company.
Anyone,
you know what I mean?
Can. Yeah.
I'm a production company.
You have to have like a certain level of money, I feel like.
No, on some real. Yeah. So he shot a horror film also with this production company called House of Cards. No relation to Netflix or the shit that went
down
with
that. That's what I thought at first. I was like, wait a second. And then I was like, no.
He was able to make his resume seem pseudo legit, because I'm like, wait, Star Wars and House of Cards? And you're like, oh, not at all.
And you're like, oh, wait, but House of Cards did not come out in like 2008.
So here is the very weird thing, though. They're not weird, but maybe foreshadowing. The film was about a murderer who lures a cheating man off a dating website and kills him. Premise of his
house. Foreshadowing much?
He was also trying to raise funds to produce a feature film called Daybreakers about the secret lives of extras.
That just sounds boring.
I didn't know extras had a secret life. Also, there's a show called Extra.
Also, extras are just regular people. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, what about their lives is shrouded in secrecy per se?
You know what I mean? Like, I'd watch a reality show about people trying to, you know, maybe something like that, but not just a show of someone like, yeah, I walked behind Diane Keaton today. Okay. Right.
You'd watch a reality show of someone standing in the background of a show for 8 hours.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I have a friend who does extra work and they get nice checks here and there for doing stuff like that. So shout out to you. I just don't know if I'd watch a show about it.
No.
So he was married and had an infant daughter.
I couldn't confirm this, but I read that it was maybe not his first marriage. Like, I'm not sure.
Well, because I know he was divorced. So
yeah,
it could be something. Yeah. So even though with his film passion projects, he's working a day job, also selling security systems, but that did not last that long, like about a month or so. And I guess it was sort of like, call it a crisis of the life, midlife, so something like that.
Of sorts.
He rented a garage on the south side of Edmonton and started stocking up handcuffs, duct tape, a meat cleaver, a lot of things that just kind of go, what?
You had me at meat cleaver.
You
handcuffs, duct tape. It's like, all right, I'm not going to kink shame, but meat cleaver?
That's no longer kinky.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's not something you should be doing.
So, unsurprisingly, he ended up murdering someone. So, here's how that went down. So, before the date, Johnny basically, he forwarded the directions of where he was going to two of his friends, which was good. And he was given the instructions to go to this garage in an alley and sneak in through a door. And this guy would give like similar directions to this other guy that he tried to attack. And we'll read the letter from that later. But they're very weird.
Very weird.
Yeah. So it led him to this like garage/film set. And here's what police believe happened. So Johnny showed up to the garage. Mark was wearing a hockey mask and hit him over the head with a pipe, then stabbed him to death with a hunting knife. And then also warning, this is pretty graphic. Sorry for not warning you guys before the stabbing, but tune out now. So then after killing him, he dismembered Johnny on the table in his garage and then tried to burn his remains, but basically like couldn't do all of it. And so then he disposed of his body in a sewer nearby.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's horrible. And then to try to cover up the fact that this man was dead, he sent his friends an email. And here's what the email said in part. Hey there. I've met an extraordinary woman named Jen who has offered to take me on a nice long tropical vacation. We'll be staying in her winter home in Costa Rica. Phone number to follow soon. I won't be back in town until December 10th, but I will be checking my email periodically. See you around the holidays, Johnny.
What a not believable, terrifying email.
Not at all. Like, I have never once gone on a date and then been like, okay, cool. So I'm just going to go on vacation with this new person for like over a month.
No, don't think I would ever do that. And if any of my friends would ever do that, I would say, no. What's going on now? So obviously that is a very sketchy email to receive.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would do that. I mean, who knows?
Like, besides Lifetime movie people.
I was going to say Hallmark Erica people. Jane, but like, yeah.
Even I think she's too smart for that.
Yeah. And Johnny's friends were immediately like, this letter is weird and doesn't sound like him at all. And they said it didn't contain any of his usual jokes. And he also like would never sign emails with his name.
Who starts a thing like an email with, hey there?
Hey there. Yeah, that's weird. You're right.
To your friends.
That's true. That's weird. And then also he didn't even like hot places. So they were like, he's not going to go to Costa Rica.
I feel that.
Yeah. So they called the police, who were unconcerned at first, shockingly. So then his friends went to his condo and they found that his passport, toiletries, and all of his beach stuff were all at his apartment. So like the guy did not go to Costa Rica.
He also has some good friends diving in all this too.
I know. Then I was thinking, like, nobody else has a key to my apartment except my roommate. So like my friends couldn't go to my apartment. That unless they like ask my landlord or my roommate.
Okay, so there's options.
Yeah, there's options. Yeah, but I'm just thinking, like, I don't, like, none of my friends have a spare key or anything. No, like,
none
that
of my friends do either. Should yeah. they? I don't know.
That stopped being a thing, I think, after like Sex in the City. Like, you know, when it would be a big relationship milestone. Yeah, it's like get someone's keys, but now like nobody does that.
Yeah, I guess because you're like, Duke, just text me.
That's true. That's true. Text me and I'll be like, all right, I'll come home. That's true. So one of Johnny's friends, Carrie Lynn, emailed him because she was worried when she got that email. And she got an email back saying that she didn't need to worry because Johnny was, quote, on vacation and loving it, quote, and quote, having the time of my life, end quote. So sketch. Like
very sketch.
Yes. Like, oh, yes, you are very much on vacation. I can tell by the fact that you're insisting you're on vacation. And even weirder, also Johnny's work supervisor, Desmond Hart, got an email that he was resigning for a new job that was, as he put it, truly life altering.
While in Costa Rica.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
So obviously, I mean, after a while of everyone in his life being like, this does not, nothing adds up here. Nothing is making sense about any of this. The police start an investigation. So they go to check out Mark and they find a few interesting things bearing up over there. Mark told the police that he bought a red Mazda off a stranger for $40.
That's not a real price that anybody would ever sell a car for.
A car, even if it's like a car that does not drive, you would still pay a few hundred dollars for that.
Yeah, like, oh, wow, this is so stupid.
And the reason he said it is because the police were looking for Johnny's, wait for it, red Mazda car. They also found a laptop in Mark's trunk with some deleted file holes, one of which is called, it was SKC. The SK stands for serial killer, the C, confessions. So the serial killer confessions as a deleted Word doc in this car. The first line say, quote unquote, this story is based on true events. The names and events were altered slightly to protect the guilty. This is the story of my progression into becoming a serial killer. He really fucking, this is not a pilot. This is your confessional, sir. Like, like what the fuck?
Part of me is like, honestly, why even try to deny it when you, I think he just tried to deny it because he thought he could like become more of a serial killer. Bro, you weren't even a serial killer.
No,
that's just a regular murderer, which is still horrible. Don't get me horrible, wrong.
But change the word doc.
It's just crazy. I'm like, you, yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, you decided that your thing was going to be, you're going to be a serial killer of all things.
Right. Yeah. That's, yeah. It's, you don't, cause that's like, you don't decide that.
So weird.
So, yeah. So after that, the police put him under 24-hour surveillance. And this is where he ends up getting a new, or not a new name, but a name that is used in the media to describe this case. I feel like it's kind of what first made us kind of go like, wait, what is this about?
Oh, yeah. So
they learned that Mark is a huge fan of the show Dexter, and even posed as Dexter Morgan on Facebook. Let it just remind you all, Dexter is a fictional character, so he posed to be him on Facebook.
I mean, I've never watched the show, but I'm like, that is just not the takeaway.
No, I never watched it either, but I heard people do love it.
Yeah, but I'm just like...
But not to this degree.
No, I can't imagine being like, oh, I love SVU, so I go around like stabbing people. Like, what? No.
I love Sex and the City. I don't spend as severely out of my budget as Carrie Bradshaw.
I'm just like, this is not the takeaway at all.
So on October 23rd of 08, he sent a letter telling his friends and film crew not to talk to the police, his film crew.
This letter is hilarious.
Yeah, so the first part of this letter, it reads, quote unquote, "First off, I want to offer my deepest apologies if your lives have been disrupted in any way by what's been going on lately. I wish I could talk to you about it, and maybe one day in the future that will be possible. But for now, I have to recommend everyone stop talking to the police, or not to start if you haven't already." Ha. Goes on to say, "I'm also sure no one in this group carries guilt, so you have nothing to fear, but I've been screwed around with and I don't appreciate it. So it's time to stop this and make them do their own jobs. I'm serious. The time for dry sarcastic humor and flaky jokes is over, and this is no prank."
Flaky jokes. What even is a flaky joke?
I don't even know. Dandruff? I don't even know.
Yeah.
It is a very bizarro thing to send to people, and they're just like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. So October 31st, Halloween of 2008, police find out that blood in Mark's car trunk belongs to Johnny, who at this point was still reported missing. So they arrest Mark. Cut to, they find a knife in Mark's car with blood on the sheath and the knife. They also find a hockey mask in the basement. So everything is starting to kind of domino effect right now.
I mean, this is really not one of those, like, we don't know who did it cases. This is like, nope, we know exactly who did it because this guy, like, thankfully told his friends where he was going to be.
They went right there.
And it turns out this guy has like a whole fucking murder garage.
Yeah. And I mean, I know it's like, oh, this is just a one in a moment situation. But for people that do go online dating, you should tell your friends where you go. Tell them.
Totally.
Always overshare with that. Yeah. So on top of that, forensics also showed a lot of blood was spilled on the garage floor, and ammonia and cleaning products were found in the garage. They also found a burn barrel, which matched a burn barrel that was described in the video. Then the police released a photo of the mask because they believed this was not Mark's first attack. And they were right about that. Do you want to talk a little bit about who the other attack was?
Yes, they were right. So basically, Mark used pretty much the same exact MO to try to kill a man by the name of Gilles Tetrault. And here's what Gilles told the police. On October 3rd, 2008, which was really not that much before the murder, he was supposed to meet a woman whom he met online who he thought was named Sheena. Spoiler alert, that was Mark.
Not Sheena Shay.
Spelled differently. So he did the same thing where he received these directions and he went to a garage. And here's what they said, in part. "Take a right on 40th Ave, and after a block or two, take the very first right into the alley. Then go left and pull into the only driveway that isn't paved, LOL. Seriously, whoever heard of a driveway that looks like the Amazon? Whatever, it won't swallow your car, I promise."
Uh-huh.
Like, what? Are you good? Like, why are you sending these weird emails?
Right. Also, like, just, like, get a driveway.
I don't know what that's about. Super weird. And so then the email said, "Like I said, the garage door will be open for you a touch. Don't worry about neighbors thinking you're a burglar." I think this would be the first thing that I'd be worried about if I saw that email.
I would be terrified if someone was just like, "Hey, go down this like weird Amazonian like garage," and then if the neighbors are freaked out, don't worry about it. I'd be like, what's happening?
I mean, I just feel like women would not fall for this, I have to say. But that's because we're so conditioned to be like, oh, a guy wants to meet you at a bar. Like, no, what if he's, going to do something?
No, exactly. That's really true. But that's also the curious thing where I feel like back in 2008, too, A, men never really worry about going on dates. And B, it's like I'm sure there were a lot of horror stories from it, but maybe not as frequent ones that people are like.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe the education just wasn't there.
Because people are like, what? Because I was like, what is catfishing? What? No, back then.
That's so true. Ugh, Neve, what a visionary.
Truly.
Yeah, so he went. Sheena did not actually give him the address of the garage where they were supposed to meet. So he had to follow these like bizarre directions. So he entered the garage and almost instantly somebody grabbed him from behind and started like prodding him with the stun baton. Yeah. And when he turned around, he saw someone in a hockey mask. That someone was Mark. The guy in the mask took out a gun and told Gilles to put duct tape on his eyes. And he did. And then was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out swinging. So he basically got up, ripped off the duct tape, grabbed the gun. And that's when he discovered that the gun was plastic.
I can't.
I know. So then he ran.
Thank God.
Thank goodness. Yeah. So then he ran into the alley behind the garage and collapsed at an intersection. And a couple was actually out for a walk and they saw him and he asked them for help. But they walked away because they thought it was part of like a mugging scheme. That sucks.
That sucks. But it is. I know that is a way that people do get mugged.
Yeah.
But still sucks. You should try to.
Yeah, that's so unfortunate. But thankfully he did help. He did escape. He didn't report the incident to the police, though, at first because he was embarrassed. And so it wasn't until November 3rd, 2008 that he came forward after the police like released this thing and were like, hey, has this happened to anybody else? And his account matched almost word for word what Mark described in SKC or SK Confessions.
Mm-hmm. So true, like a verbatim, this is kind of like his we attempt. Found him. And you wrote it out plain and simple for what you did. So the trial was a big deal. Everyone was talking about it. And that's also when they started to call him the Dexter Killer. So that also gave it a name that the media really clung to cover a lot.
Is the show still on at this point? Because I wonder if they'd be pissed.
It was still on.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why I know that, because it's kind of in the after. Yes.
Okay.
So the trial was a big deal. And with the whole Dexter angle, Mark pled not guilty to first degree murder, but tried to plead guilty to like a reduced charge of interfering with a dead body.
I'm literally how are you pleading guilty, sir?
Right.
I mean, I know how. We'll talk about it in a second. Yeah. But I'm just like, you've got to be fucking kidding.
You're like, babe, the cards are all in a line. So Netflix is The Crown. Just kidding. I mean, Canada's Crown was like, nah, you're guilty.
I'm also just like, I love that he wants like whatever infamy he's going to get from being a serial killer, but is like a complete fucking bitch when it comes to actually facing any consequences.
Yeah. Being like, hey, your confessionals. Yeah. They're true. Got it. Cool. You're guilty.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. So they didn't find Johnny's remains until almost 2 years later when Mark finally told them that he put them in a sewer about half a block past where police had stopped searching.
I'm like, I didn't know things stayed in a sewer that long.
I didn't either.
I'm surprised it didn't get like washed downstream or something.
I guess if it never like rains heavily there, sewer water is always kind of maybe stays the same level.
I don't know.
I have literally no clue though. Yeah. But I know I was kind of talked about that as well.
Yeah.
So he claimed that he only lured Aldinger to the garage to generate buzz for the House of Cards short film he was working on.
Oh, yeah. Fucking a nice little kidnapping publicity stunt. Like, what are you talking about?
That's not going to turn into. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So then Mark claimed that he got angry that he was duped and attacked him. So then he beat and stabbed him in self-defense.
Right. You beat someone in self-defense, then you stab them in self-defense, and then you also dismember them in self-defense because you were worried that their body was going to come back to life. And
right. I don't. Right. Not quite. Quite obviously, the jury did not buy that and returned a guilty verdict about 5 hours after being sequestered. He was found guilty of first degree murder and sentenced to 25 to life. Do you want to talk about what the jury saw, some other stuff?
Yeah. So they saw a lot of interesting shit, but one thing that they didn't see was a deleted document called A Profile of a Psychopath. And it's 7 pages and believed to have been written by Bark. And basically in it, the author analyzes his own personality and behavior and kind of declares he's devoid of empathy. So the author writes, I habitually lied my entire life, despite my well-adjusted and healthy family life and upbringing. Also, For as long as I can remember, I have always had a distinct lack of empathy. I've always had a dark side. I've had to sugarcoat for the world. But the weird thing about this document is that the author writes only about fantasizing about killing people and like specifically claims that he's never actually killed people. So it says, I've often fantasized about killing people who have wronged me or threatened to hurt me or my family in the future. But that's where it ends. I don't feel that taking someone else's life is worth the loss of my freedom or the amount of time, energy, or expense one needs to put in order to conduct such acts.
Okay.
Interesting. And then he also writes that he doesn't need to actually kill people since he can just like simulate it in his work, which made me laugh.
Like the work that no one is right. watching and isn't good. Yeah, sure.
Right.
Sure.
He writes, as a producer, I can profit from the sale and distribution of my work. But as a serial killer, I would get nothing more than a quick rush of adrenaline and a prison sentence to follow. It's like, yeah, man, I don't know. Nobody said murder was logical, and it clearly wasn't, because you did exactly this.
I was going to say, and guess what you got now? A prison sentence.
I know. I wonder if this document he kind of wrote, well, I don't know. I'm like, it didn't take police that long to find him, but I kind of wonder if he'd written it as an attempt to like cover up what he was going to do. But it's like, no one's buying that.
No one is. No.
No one. And he also admitted to cheating on his wife regularly for the thrill of it. I don't know why I put that last. That's certainly not the worst thing he did.
Well, it just shows the character through and motherfucking through.
Yeah. It's so weird and interesting to me because it's like this guy was, I mean, how old? Like,
I think 40. I think he was 42.
Yeah.
I want to say he was 42 and a cancer. Do with that what you will.
Ooh. I actually don't know about cancer stereotypes.
I don't know anything either.
It's just weird to like all of a sudden just decide, yep, nope, I'm going to try to make it as a serial killer.
Right. No, exactly. And then, so here's the interesting thing too. So he was sentenced to, I want to say 30 no parole or 25 to 30 no parole. And he wound up, because when the second guy came forward, they were going to try to charge him for second degree, but then he was already like declared everything like that and got such an intense sentence that they dropped that. But his jail lifestyle, I did not know this, and maybe this might be because I read it from a Canadian article, that he got a flat screen TV in fucking prison.
Ow. Oh my God, Canada. You guys are too fucking nice.
They're too nice. They're too nice over there. And this is how I know Dexter was still on during all of this, because what he watched all the episodes that he missed while he was like being arrested, going to court, everything like that. And then would just watch reruns and stuff like that. Just kind of like, I guess, lean into that. And the main guy from Dexter, very handsome man. What's his name? Michael C. Hall. When he was interviewed when he was doing press for Dexter on the Canadian news, they were like, what do you feel about the like a copycat of that? He's like, that's not the fucking takeaway of the show.
That's what
you
I
should
said.
Not want to be the main. And that's why I love that you said, I was like, he's like, you, we are not making the show to make anyone want to be the main character. He is the bad person. He's a serial killer. Like,
yeah, like obviously.
That's not what should happen. Yeah. It's just so fucking insane.
Yeah. And also, didn't you tell me that he had a dating profile in prison?
He had a dating profile in prison on this website. So he's back to the fucking tricks. And it's a website that you have to pay $25 a year for them to leave your inmate profile up. And that, so then people can match and stuff like that. He is chatting with women on there. So I guess he is acting as himself. And I mean, I am from the track record we've seen with inmates and criminals with dating profiles, I'm sure he is chatting with people as we fucking speak.
I'm all for like a good love after lockup, but I'm like, I don't think that this is the person that you want to find love with.
No. I don't like
absolutely.
And if
not.
You feel yourself doing that, girl, get on Talkspace. Get better out. Like, you know, do something.
Seriously. Do something.
Oi.
I mean, this is just so bonkers. And it's also bonkers because I feel like we haven't even done that many Canadian cases, but both of the ones that stick out to me are these like sick, twisted, TV inspired things that involve dismembering people.
They're really intense up there.
Yeah, I think it's certainly like a selection bias on my part, but
the ones that make international news. Yeah.
I got like big Luca Magnotta vibes. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, because these two, because that's so interesting you said that, because I kept on thinking that this really reminded me of him. with the same, like in the same setup. And then also Karen too, they're really intense up there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if anybody read our headlines, they'd be like, shit, what's happening in America?
Yeah, they're like, so, how was 2016 to 2020, you fucking idiots? We're like, oh, good.
Yeah, that.
You know what America also has? Jorge here, where we can, where he has a game for us, because in America, we play games.
All right. So, lessons learned. Don't meet random people on the internet in weird get garages.
Just please. Don't meet them at their garage. And I think this is, it's okay. That's common knowledge now. That's a convention. Everybody knows. Go meet a public place. Especially if they're not giving you an address to their garage. Like, do not go. Friends.
No, don't sketch. Go. Kamala Harris, sketch. Don't come. Don't go.
So today, in honor of the serial killer being inspired by a famous serial killer in Dexter, we're going to take a look at iconic fictional serial killers across movies and television. And this game is called Bust a Move. So the way it works, I'm going to tell you the serial killer's iconic move, and it's going to be your job to tell me who it is. And then there will be a bonus trivia question about the serial killer.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's fun. It's kind of like the game that we did on the stories where I was like, everybody send me your made-up serial killer name.
Oh, that is fun.
Any memorable ones?
We got the Grave Dropper.
That's a good one.
This was one I came up with yesterday. It was the Down Undertaker for an Australian serial killer. Everybody liked that one.
That is a good one.
That is genius, Sarah.
Thank you.
Wow. No wonder you're the editor.
Yeah, then there's going to be, there was a Dexter killer, now there's going to be the Sarah killer, where they're like, I'm inspired by Sarah Levine.
Do not do that.
I heard this amazing name for a serial killer, and I just had to make it real. On it. All right, Sarah, you will be starting in honor of your amazing name. Okay, so first move is wearing an old school hockey goalie mask.
Fuck. It's not Michael Myers. It's not Freddy Krueger. Is it Jason?
That is correct. Well done. It is Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th series. And here's your trivia question. What was the name of the camp that Jason haunts in Friday the 13th? And I'll have some options for you. Is it Summer Pond, Crystal Lake, Willow Creek, or Silver Springs?
I think it's Crystal Lake. I think that's the sign that my downstairs neighbor has on the door because she decorated for Halloween.
Oh, that's cute.
That is correct.
Yes, neighbor for the win. Look, I don't even, like, we've never even met.
You can bring them some cookies.
The right? Neighbor giving you the alley-oop. Wow, that's amazing. All right, well, Sarah, you are on the board with 2 points.
Ooh, right. I will say Silver Springs, one of my favorite Fleetwood Mac songs, though. So honorable mention.
Yeah, it's a welcome change for you, Sarah, since last week you scored a whopping 0 points.
Girl, that might be me this time. I'm like blanking. I have not watched any horror movies yet this season.
All right, Danny. Famous move is walking really, really, really slow.
Is that Michael Myers?
That is Michael Myers. Well done.
Okay. That's his thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost laughable how slow really he walks. I mean, I've never seen that sort of ominous creeping up on you, but Michael Myers is literally just like snail's pace.
Why do you think Jamie Lee's still running after him? Or still alive for 9 movies later? I am excited for that reboot or the one that comes out.
All right, here's your bonus trivia question.
Fuck.
What type of mask does he wear? A clown mask, a Louis Armstrong mask, a Luke Skywalker mask, or a Captain Kirk mask?
The way I thought it was, Louis Armstrong?
That is incorrect, Danny. It is actually a Captain Kirk mask.
Oh! Ugh. Why did I'm lucky that I said the right guy, because I was picturing the wrong mask the entire time.
Whoops.
Yeah, it's this really creepy. I actually didn't know this, but it's a Captain Kirk mask that they painted white and then
I'm like, why did I Google it?
Expanded the eyes of, which is super bizarre. So it's actually William Shatner's face.
Wow. On
Michael Myers.
That is so weird.
Jeff Bezos' new BFF.
All right. Next up, Sarah, in his Manhattan apartment, talking about music.
Americans, what's his name? Patrick Bateman?
That is correct. Well done, Sarah.
Up to you're like three Jason points. Bateman?
Jason Bateman. I was really torn there.
And your bonus question is, what is the name of the restaurant that Patrick Bateman is jealous his coworker got reservations at? Do you remember this? I can give you
options. I've never seen the movie.
All right, multiple choice. Here we
go.
You
haven't?
You've never seen it?
No.
That's a good one.
You should watch it.
I would say American Psycho and American Beauty are so great. I mean, American Beauty has a tarnished moment, but...
yeah, you're right. Okay, so your options are 11 Madison Park, Noma, Dorsia, or the Hollywood Diner.
Yeah, my guess would have been 11 Madison Park, so I'm going to go with that.
That is incorrect. Sorry.
It was Dorsia,
which is never actually a fictional restaurant. Yeah, it doesn't exist. They just made it up for the movie.
Yeah, that does make sense.
I'm going to say Cipriani's.
All right, we have a tie game, 3-3.
No, we don't.
No, sorry. No, we don't. Never mind.
Thanks for your honesty, Danny.
Gotcha.
You're up. Okay. Oh, roaming around, looking like a friendly toy.
Oh my God, my least favorite, Chucky.
It is Chucky.
I hated this. Oh my God, no, it scared me so much as a kid.
It's such a bizarre premise too. I can't believe the movie even got made.
And you know what's messed up? That the toy, that the doll from Rugrats, the Chucky, looks so much like that Chucky.
Oh, you're
really
right.
Fucking
you're
freaked right. me out growing
you're
up.
You're so right.
You're right.
Boy.
All right. So your bonus question, Danny, what is the name of the doll that Chucky inhabits? Was it Smiling Sam, Jolly James, Good Guy, or Pretty Peter?
Yikes.
Jolly James?
That is incorrect.
What is it?
It was Good Guy.
Okay, well, that's a little poor writing.
Terrible.
I'm like, that's actually weak writing. I can say, come at me, where the fuck made Chucky? Good Guy was that's not a doll name.
I know. It should have been one of these. Jolly James is perfect.
Those are even so creepier. Much better. Good guy. I'm like, if my kid bought, I got a Good Guy for Christmas, I'd be like, hi, return. Like, what the fuck is that?
All right, next up, Sarah. Giving his customers the closest shaves they'll ever get.
I knew
Sweetie
this
Todd?
Would be.
It is Sweetie Todd. Well yeah. done.
This
well
is a done. Movie I've seen.
Oh, it's so good.
I purposefully did not ask Danny this question because I knew he would. Ha,
it would be unfair.
Like,
is there a
somebody.
Bonus for if you sing a full question. Song? Is there a bonus?
Oh my God.
With the price of meat, if you got.
There's some great, great tunes in that musical. I gotta say.
Worst Pies in London might be one of my favorite songs.
So good. All right, Sarah, here's your bonus question. What is the name of Sweeney Todd's daughter, which he is trying to rescue throughout the movie?
Damn, no multiple choice on this one.
No multiple choice on this one.
Oh, fuck.
I have literally no idea.
Okay, I will give you a hint.
Okay.
There is a song, a very iconic song, even a refrain that is sung throughout the musical that specifically is this woman's name.
Oh, I saw it so long ago. Let's just pretend it's Maria.
Danny?
It's a common show tune name.
I actually don't remember it. No, I'm blanking.
I'll steal you, Joanna.
Oh my God, yes, shit. Joanna. Yeah, fuck.
Good one.
Everyone's welcome for that beautiful rendition of that song.
That's so good.
It was great. That's why you're the professional.
That's why you upstate. That with is the price why. Of meat. That chick. Oh God. I'm just gonna listen to that after this. I love her, even though she's like so crazy.
What?
Helena Bonham. Oh, I'm talking about Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh yeah.
Local girl is the good guy.
I feel like she only plays like deranged fictional characters, like,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
I guess, because she's like only in Tim Burton movies.
And even in Harry Potter, when she was in, yeah, she
exactly her,
like, what was it, Lestrange?
Yes. Is that really her name? That's so funny.
Yeah, it is.
It is, yeah.
Oh, she's so good. Lovely Ladies, too. She was one of the silver linings of that bad movie. Les Mis, not Sweeney Todd.
All right, Danny, it is back to you. Playing games.
Saw?
That is the name of the movie. What is the name of the killer?
Oh, fuck, what? I was going to say, like, no.
Drake?
No, tricycle, no. the fuck?
Tricycle Tom.
Jack?
That is incorrect, but you got the first letter right.
John?
No, sorry, Danny. The correct answer is Jigsaw.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's annoying. But like Saw.
But like Saw.
That's like, okay, name every member of Fifth Harmony. Yeah. Silence!
Nope.
All right, Danny, here's your bonus question. How many movies are there in the Saw franchise?
They just had one last year.
Damn, really?
They did.
I think so. Wow. 5?
Incorrect. It is actually 9.
Oh, what?
9?
I
was going to guess 4.
Saw movies.
When did they start getting made?
When did they start popping these out like it's a now, that's what I call music?
Literally. And also, what are people? I feel like by the 9th one, they're like, hey, trike, get away from me. I don't need you.
They're like, no, I'm not going to play a game with a stranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been 9 movies.
My God.
I didn't even know that. What?
They've made over $1 billion in box office.
Good Lord.
I don't think I've seen a Saw movie from since 2008.
Seriously.
I've actually never seen one.
Really?
It's just not like the premise never really interested me, but it interested a lot of people because 9 movies. Can you imagine?
That's ridiculous.
They did. I would say after, like, they just got like too gory that I'm like, this actually isn't even like well done anymore. It's just kind of like,
right.
I'm like, I don't need to see someone like pop out their eye to get like a key in there. And that's what I'm always wondering. I'm like, how'd you put the key in there?
I'm dying. They really gave Saw the Fast and Furious treatment. Like,
what? I mean, oh my God, well, I like Jigsaw EGOTs. Little Jigsaw. Right? I love a, oh my God, scary movie. Oh, scary movie. Now that is a fun one when they recreate.
That is a good movie.
All right, Sarah, it is your turn. We have 2 more questions. Okay. And you are in the lead, Sarah. So this game is yours to lose. Here we go. While wearing his mother's clothes.
Mother's clothes. Norman Bates.
Well done. That is correct. Norman Bates in Psycho, which is a classic.
Like, yes, such a classic.
So good.
That's so good.
Speaking of Psycho, Psycho was the first movie to feature what event in the bathroom? Is the first time that this was depicted in a movie ever.
A stabbing?
Incorrect. The correct answer.
Like what?
Showering.
It wasn't showering either.
Oh.
It was a toilet flushing.
What?
Yeah. It's the first time that anyone ever saw that in a movie.
Whoever figured that out and wrote that fact on the internet. I'm not judging you, but I'm saying
you just want to talk.
I just want to talk.
You good?
I want to show you. I want to buy you like a ceramic class session.
I was like, this question is too easy. It's what happens in the shower, right?
Or didn't everyone think, because I remember the blood, everyone thought it was so life, like they got scared, but it was like ketchup?
Because it was chocolate syrup, because the right consistency,
right?
Because the movie was filmed in, or like, because it was a black and white movie.
Right, so it didn't matter.
Now they have modern stuff now for it? Because I was like, that would make a lot of sense. You just dye it red.
All right, okay. Danny, the last question. in their dreams with his claws.
I'm like, Beowulf? Oh,
Beowulf.
Are you the one that called Beowulf? Oh my God. Who's that? Angelina Jolie. In his claws, I guess it's like a werewolf. Who's a famous werewolf?
So in their dreams with his claws.
In dreams with claws. Is this like the guy from X-Men? What? I have no clue.
The correct answer is Freddy Krueger.
Yes.
Those
okay.
Creepy hands.
Yeah, I've not seen that one in 15 years, I don't think. I forgot. Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street, which features Johnny Depp's movie debut, which is crazy to think about.
Yikes.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Dang.
So the bonus question is what color is Freddy Krueger's sweatshirt?
I didn't know he was a fashion icon. blue?
Incorrect. It is red and green, iconically.
Danny. Is it?
Yeah.
This is red and green. Okay.
Weird. Oh,
Christmas night. Maybe I need to watch more killer movies.
Yeah, that movie is worth a rewatch too. It is fantastic and so fun to watch. Ooh. But Sarah,
I feel like they're more fun to watch now.
You have won Bust a Move. You are the winner of
all right.
Game. What a recovery.
Woo. I know I had to redeem myself from the embarrassment of last week. So I'm glad I did that.
That was peak Mercury retrograde though. So that wasn't you.
Thank you. I appreciate the support. So true. Well, thank you, Jorge.
No problem.
Thank you. Oh no, I guess. Yeah. This is the time that everybody should be watching spooky movies because it's Halloween season.
Very.
God bless.
No, I'm trying to think. I really haven't watched a movie since The Way Down, which was great. Not spooky, but
not spooky. I have not watched. Crime. And I haven't watched anything either. I did watch a scare. What's it called? The Chestnut Man was pretty spooky on Netflix. It's a fun miniseries if anyone wants a spooky Halloween moment. Not really Halloween, but
ooh, love
spooky.
It.
Nordic, yeah.
Nordic. Ooh, love that. Love a Nordic thriller.
Actually, it is my favorite.
No, they're because I've read a few books that are Nordic thrillers, and I'm like, this is good.
High key, like the stakes get high in them.
Yep, love it.
Oh my God! All right, so we'll talk more Nordic thrillers on our true crime Facebook group. I'm not going to read a book. I watch the TV adaptations, but I do love because we do say join the group, not in a true crime group, because everyone joins it because they say we don't shut up about it on here. So that means we're not going to shut up about it because we get more people to join it, and it's a fun time where we talk about everything.
Yeah. And also follow the Instagram, Not Another True Crime. Follow Danny on Instagram, Cashmere Danny with a K. You already know.
You can follow Sarah Lameme, baby. I just saw I was laughing at your recent reels about your mom washing dishes before putting them in the dishwasher. I do that too.
I'll rinse them, but like,
I don't know why I do,
sponge.
But I didn't think it was weird until I saw that. I was like, wait, why do I do that?
And then someone commented and they were like, oh, it's because I don't want to have to clean all this stuff out when I clean the filter. And I was really too ashamed to admit. I was like, hold up. You guys are cleaning your dishwashers too? When does it end?
I did not. It makes sense a dishwasher has a filter.
Sure.
News to me though. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was something we had to clean.
Yeah. You learn something new every day on this podcast, including about birders and also the dishwasher.
And just the fact that we've been eating on garbage, I guess, for forever.
Man, and on that note, we will be back next week. Thank you for listening, as always.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Lavine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Lavine. Be sure to follow at NATCPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to NATC@betches.com. Betches.